Actually, this session includes the life of St. Peter the Athenite as well, but I'm just going to talk about St. Gregory Palamas, who defeated the heresy of Balaamism in the 14th century. That St. Simeon, the new theologian, was so deathly against even before it raised its ugly head in the 11th century. As I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the sacramental nature of imitating the lives of the saints, we are not to imitate just anyone who claims or even seems to live a holy life. The Holy Church teaches us that those whose way of life and whose teaching have been glorified by the Church for our instruction, our edification, and our imitation, those glorious ones, we can have confidence that their way of life is the pattern of doctrine and living, the phronema and the ethos that leads us on the narrow path into the kingdom of God and salvation. I hate to pass over the life of St. Peter the Athenite, but I'm going to. The life of St. Gregory was written by St. Philotheos Kokinos, the Patriarch of Constantinople. This life is that he wrote of St. Gregory is so inspiring, so enlightening. It describes what we've been talking about in these three sessions leading up to this one, in actually a life that did it, that embraced it. In fact, in writing the life of St. Peter the Athenite, St. Philotheos explains that St. Gregory, who wrote the life of St. Peter the Athenite, St. Philotheos explains that St. Gregory was really revealing his own spiritual life as well. St. Gregory was raised in the early 14th century in Constantinople by a most respected, noble, pious mom and dad. In fact, St. Gregory's father, Constantine, was the teacher of the emperor's grandson, and he was the most trusted advisor to the king himself. St. Philotheos writes, because of his purity of soul and his way of looking only towards the good and towards God, the emperor preferred him. This is St. Gregory's father, Constantine. The emperor preferred him to all others. Even though he was in a palace and making all kinds of advances for the king and meeting with great many people every day, his noetic sobriety, St. Philotheos says, was such that he came back to himself again and again and to God through attention and prayer. Constantine lived in constant prayer and watchfulness. And though he was married and with many responsibilities, he made sure that not only he had frequent contact with holy people, ascetics, monks and nuns, but he made sure that his children too were constantly in contact with such holy people. As a parent, he understood that the most important part of training his children was to link them to the life of the church, especially with people who expressed in their own lives the way of life in the church. He expressed that St. Gregory's path was very simple. There was a path to the palace, there was a path to the church, and there was the path to the monastery. That was his life. This was Gregory's life as he was growing up. Before he died, St. Gregory's father was tonsured as a monk, having already embraced and practiced living that way of life, which was, as Metropolitan Herodotus expresses it simply, the life of the gospel. On his deathbed, Constantine said, "I leave my children not to those earthly rulers, but to this queen of all, to the mother of the kingdom of heaven, the mother of the kingdom of heaven." St. Gregory was 7 years old when his father died, and he was left to the protection of the fifth locus. His mother, who lived the same pious life with her husband, wanted to become a nun, but she delayed her tonsuring until the children were grown. So St. Peter grew up in a home where his saintly parents, in the midst of all the cares and activities of the world, these godly parents organized their family life around the monastic example of asceticism of body and soul, watchfulness, and prayer. Before St. Gregory began any lesson, he would make three prostrations before the icon of the Theotokos. You that are homeschooling your children, this is a wonderful practice to do this. He put himself under the guidance of the most trusted spiritual fathers that would come from Marathos. He learned to be a spiritual athlete, embracing the difficult way of the ascetic life, of self-control, and as St. Philotheus said, frugality in everything. His food, his dress, his activity. St. Philotheus wrote that before he was 20 years old, he had learned the habit of holy sobriety and noetic prayer, while he was still living in a noisy world. St. Philotheus wrote that he worked on purifying his heart, that his noose might be illumined. He lived ascetically in his dress, his shoes, his bedding, in fasting and vigil. He did away with tasty food and sleep, especially in the morning. He only ate a little bread, and he drank a little water, as was necessary. People thought he was crazy. Did you know that people thought St. Gregory of Palamas was crazy? They thought he was mad. Some, on the other hand, thought him to be superhuman. Before the age of 20, before he obediently embraced the monastic life on Mount Athos at Datapeti Monastery, St. Gregory had embraced that transforming way of Orthodox life. In the monastery, he continually prayed to the Theotokos, his protector, to, quote, enlighten my darkness. And St. Philotheus said that after 2 years, finally in a vision, St. John the Apostle came to him and asked him, "Why do you so persistently pray to God, enlighten my darkness? You've been illumined." And the angel gave him a message from the Theotokos, and she told him, "I myself will be your helper." He was at Datapeti for 3 years until his spiritual father's death. And then he spent 3 years at the Great Lava, working on his soul, growing in spiritual strength. One time he didn't sleep for 3 months in the enjoyment of stillness before God. And then he went to Glossia Monastery for 2 years, where St. Philotheus explains that he found detachment of his noose from reasoning. This is a great task, to detach your noose from reasoning. That's what we were talking about trying to take command of our attention. It's a great work. St. Gregory mastered this, to detach his noose from reasoning, from the passions and the surrounding world. And this detachment entered his heart and rose from there for the first time to see the vision of God, which means that he had the experience of communing in the uncreated light. Metropolitan Herophilus writes that his extreme humility, sincere love for God and neighbor, compunction, and mourning were fruits of this prayer and vision of God, that tears were constantly flowing from his eyes, and in this way he attained a depth of love for God such as only a few have experienced. Sometime later, he was ordained to the priesthood in Thessaloniki, and by his 30th year, St. Philotheos writes that everyone was astonished by his actions and by his words. He was washed with extraordinary streams of tears, and his face was supernaturally radiant and altered when he came out of stillness or from the divine liturgy. The first time I went to Manathos with Father Gregory, we visited the little cell of Elder Gabriel. I don't know, some of you may have met him before or heard of him. Wonderful little elder, the funny. Very funny elder. He led us into his little cabin and took us into a little chapel where he was, where he had his devotions. And there was a streaming icon there. So he showed us the icon, and it was all lined with cotton underneath, and it was just running. And he took us into the little sunroom where he was praying for people. He had stacks of all kinds of cards and paper and things that people had sent him. And he laid down on the bench in this room. We sat in some chairs, Father Gregory and I. And he was weeping as we were talking with him. Father Gregory was talking with him. Tears just running from his eyes. And he's laying on his back. He was holding the picture, the cards up like this, and the little pieces of paper that everyone had been sending to him. And he was praying for them while he was talking to us and doing the Jesus prayer at the same time. Father Gregory started introducing me to him, told him where I was from, and that we started a little mission church in the United States, and that it had grown, and the elder sat up very abruptly and said, "Would you have him pray for me?" I said, have him pray for me. Tears streaming. This is a gift that St. Gregory had in a very full way. Such was joyful mourning. Such joyful mourning, such contradictions of terms, but such a joyful mourning that brings such grace, such power, not only into his own life, but bursting out of his cell and from that cell into our country, praying for all these stacks of names and people. Soon St. Gregory was chosen to be the abbot of Esfigenmund Monastery, where he lived for some time. His mouth was described as a fountain of spiritual wisdom, and miracles flowed from his life like a river, seeking more and more after stillness. He retired from being abbot and he returned to the great Lavra. It was at this time that a man by the name of Balaam began troubling the church, which was very vulnerable to his heresy. And as I mentioned yesterday, Balaamism is easy beliefism. It's living in the world and going to church. Whether he was an Orthodox monk who became Roman Catholic or simply always had been a Roman Catholic, it's not certain. But Balaam ended up visiting Mount Athos to see the way of their spiritual life and hearing very simple monks tell of their vision of the uncreated light of God's divinity. Balaam ridiculed them. He mocked them, calling such an idea idolatry and teaching that all we can know about God comes through the senses. The senses that we've been given and the grace of God that we receive for salvation is created grace, not uncreated. And this is the teaching of agnosticism, that God cannot be known as he is or his life experienced as it is. Balaamism is the idea that it's enough to believe the right philosophical ideas about God, that any knowledge we can have of God depends on the use of human reason. Oh my brains. Human reason. We just need to be good, reasonable people in our thoughts and actions. That's not just enough, that's all there can be. This is Balaamism. Balaam not only ridiculed the experience of uncreated light, he dismissed any ascetic efforts, any physical discipline that was supposedly beneficial in forcing the body to join the soul and pursuing such true knowledge of God. He dismissed prayer, fasting, vigil, placing philosophy and reason over everything. This was in the 14th century. What are we living with now? When this heresy exploded in the church, the Metropolitan of Thessaloniki and others sent for St. Gregory to refute Balaam, and to make a long story short, the force of his words that were the fruit of his own personal experience of God devastated the arguments of Balaam and laid the groundwork for three church councils that upheld the teaching of St. Gregory as the tradition unchanging of the church. It is still the tradition of the church, even though Balaamism is much more popular. It is still the tradition of the church. Again, Balaam maintained that one can reach God through philosophy and reason. And St. Gregory upheld the tradition that only through purity can we know God. And through ascetic struggle of body and soul, they can be centered in their heart, and this heart can be purified, their nous illumined and liberated from the passions and raised to the vision of God. That's how we are saved, and what we are being saved for. It's said that during the councils, the first meeting that the council had with Balaam and St. Gregory, that they allowed Balaam to make the first presentation. And all during the presentation that Balaam was making, they said that St. Gregory was praying out loud the Jesus prayer the whole time. And then when it was St. Gregory's time to speak, he annihilated every point by point, that Balaam had been making. St. Pelopius said that during his struggle with Balaam, it often happened that it was reported that divine light suddenly came and shone around him, that he was bathed in this uncreated light. The struggle was incredible. We think our confession of the faith is tough in the secular world that we live in. And I was just mentioning with you earlier, hang on. It's going to get very tough, very difficult. The struggle was incredible for St. Gregory. He was put in prison for 4 years. And when he was finally freed, he was made the Archbishop of Thessaloniki. And the Barlaamites joined forces with other political factions that forced him to go back to Malathus for years before he was even enthroned in Thessaloniki. His service as bishop was supernatural and glorious. He was revered by everyone as a living saint. Yet the troubles continued, and he eventually had to return to Malathus, where he ended his life on earth. And the historians wrote that as they were taking St. Gregory's body back to Thessaloniki to be buried, that of course all the roads and the way to Thessaloniki from Malathus was lined with people who were there to honor this great saint. And that there were countless people who, touching his coffin on its way as it processed to Thessaloniki, were healed. That there were many who were raised from the dead. And that when they finally got him buried, that his grave shone with light. And all of the historians, including St. Theophilus, said that his grave, visited by so many countless thousands of people, became a spiritual pharmacy for everyone who came and venerated this great saint. The uncreated light, the power of God, was flowing from him into the world. And my dear brothers and sisters, may that same source be that which enlivens our lives in Christ and causes the work of this holy parish to explode into the healing of this community in which you live, and the community in which we live as well in Yakima. Pray for us. Pray for us. Forgive me for saying a whole lot of things that I don't know experientially about. Pray for us, and we will remember you, Father Alexander, and your parish. May God bless you, and may God bless us all in the days ahead, that we will be protected from the wiles of the enemy. Amen. Answer anything, or your eyes are starting to spin. Yes,
we have a mission in Tuscaloosa, St. Herman of Alaska, and I was wondering if you have any words for us.
Having been involved in the beginnings of and building the groundwork for several missions, I think the words of the Savior are the most appropriate for that great work, and that is, whoever endures to the end will be saved. I mean, that needs to be, that just has to be our, there's so many discouraging things that happen. There's so many challenging things that happen in building a mission. The evil one hates what's happening and will work incredibly constantly against you. And you know, when you only have a few people and half of them are nutcases, no, I mean, you know, if it's a big parish, you can absorb that. It doesn't have to be debilitating. But these missions, they happen to be like a magnet. And some of those people are the most wonderful souls. They're just eccentric. You know, and the challenges that come against you, just about trying to find a place to be, is to gather, to start. I mean, you know, those things are incredibly challenging. You have to be able to just have such a focus of your attention on getting it done, regardless of all the other stuff that's happening. And if your wife will help you, thank God, the Lord gave me a wife that allowed me to do what needed to be done, and still allows me to do what needs to be done. If I don't get home on Saturday night until 11 or 12, she doesn't nag me about it. You know, may God give you such a blessed wife and family, because it takes everything we have. But the other thing the Lord said, by your patient endurance, you'll obtain your souls. That means just by enduring whatever there is to endure, and doing it with patience and hope and joy. We can talk about joy, but you're ready to go home. But with patience, we receive such grace, the Lord said, such power, that we actually begin to transform our souls. So, endurance and patience, but constant, devoted application of your ministry, of your body. Anybody else? I explained it in such a way that you understood everything. That's a miracle. Anyway, thank you so much.